You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Welcome inside the Celtics Life podcast. I'm Mark Allison here with Luis Gonzalez. And for the next several podcasts, and hopefully a few more as long as the Celtics are rolling in the playoffs, we're switching things up a bit for a playoff-friendly format. We're going to cover the week's big events still and dive into the playoff picture since that's what everyone's thinking about right now. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you guys do like the podcast, please give us 5-star ratings on whatever you listen to on iTunes. It really helps a lot with everything with the podcast. We are doing that Paul Pierce mailbag later this week. We got some great stuff from you guys, so and thanks again for that stuff. As of now, so the Celtics are sitting at 2-2, coming off a really, really rough loss on Sunday against the Wizards. We're going to get into that in a second. But first, yesterday, we had a little uplifting Area 21, KG's show on TNT or in that we had ourselves a mini 08 Celtics reunion. Some pretty cool stuff. You guys check it out, right?
Maybe it was uplifting. I guess everybody has their own feelings about it. Depending on how you feel about Ray
Well, yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot of fun stuff, though. Doc Rivers popping up was pretty cool. So for anyone that didn't see it, I mean, I assume most of you did, but it was KG. He had Pierce, Glenn Davis, Perkins, Rondo, all on his show. They were talking all kinds of stuff from the 08 Celtics. Even Sam Cassell was there. What was Sam Cassell doing?
Yeah, he's like he was behind the scenes. I think he might work.
All right. So he hooked his boy up with a job, right? Because, he played with Cassell back in Minnesota even before he was with the Celtics, so. Yeah, so that's cool though. At first I was like, "What the hell? He looks so different with glasses on." Covers his alien eyes.
And don't forget to mention that Paul Pierce was sitting in a wheelchair.
Yeah, well, that was that. Yeah, so then Doc comes on the screen, and the funniest thing about this was Doc comes on and everyone's pumped to see Doc except for Glenn Davis, who's been talking so much shit about him lately. You know, he should be fired and he's overrated coach. He fell into the spot at the right time. And it was so awkward. The first time I watched it, it was so cringeworthy to see Davis sitting there like he was just completely out of it. Like when Doc popped up on the screen and everyone else is laughing and having a good time and he was just displaced.
I didn't watch it live, but I saw a video of it. And my first thought is, why does Glenn Davis look so like out of it? Like, It made my just my skin crawl just like seeing him in the awkward, it was so weird.
Right. But Doc played it off fine. Like, he didn't seem anything awkward about it at all. And then, in fact, and then he clowned Davis for it later, saying, you know, Glenn's been giving me a lot of crap or whatever it was he said. And then he was talking about Glenn gaining weight during training camp, which he said is virtually impossible. And they found out that he was going through the dinner line twice. He was the first one in there, and he would eat and then leave and come back an hour later and pretend that he was never there before. Like, oh, no. And they found that out after the fact. Somebody spotted him go through two times. That is hilarious. Oh, man. But yeah, so they talked a lot of stuff. And then Doc gave Pierce the wheelchair.
I mean, it was a pretty cool moment, I would say, overall. We all know that.
Yeah, definitely.
These are all the Celtics that, you know, Ray Rose, Banner 17. So everybody should really love them. But there was one person that wasn't there. And I'm sure all of you can put two and two together. And it was Ray Allen, of course, who we all know had a weird falling out with the Celtics after he went to Miami. There was a lot of he said, she said, he didn't tell us, blah, 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 blah. And this morning, so during the segment, KG and Paul Pierce and all of them chimed in as to their feelings about the whole Ray Allen saga. And basically their main gripe is that Ray didn't let any of them know that he was planning on doing this or even considering doing this. He kind of just did it. And he found out with the rest of us. And they were just as shocked as we all were. Kendrick Perkins was like, you know, it's his job to reach out to us. And KG kind of echoed those sentiments. And this morning, Ray Allen posted a picture on his Facebook of him, like, kind of elbowing Rondo while Ray Allen was with the Heat. I forgot what the caption was, but it was something super petty. And in my head, I'm just like, my God, why can't we all get past this already? Or not we all, but the Celtics finally get past this.
Yeah, it seemed funny because, like, it seemed like they were leaving the door open. Like, they all said their piece, you know, even Garnett, and they were talking about how, you know, they were, you know, obviously, yeah, you know, they were pissed when he left. I mean, part of it was that he went to the Heat, but more so the fact that, you know, like you said, he just didn't say anything, which is crazy to me because the way that they made it seem like, you know, these guys were a family, they were really close. And, you know, I mean, were they talking to each other at the time? I don't understand how, like, you know, I wonder how much communication was going on at all at that point, you know, or if they were just kind of leaving him out to do his thing. Yeah, you know,
I think that's the biggest unknown. What exactly happened? Like,
right. I mean, how often were they talking to each other? You know what I mean? Like, are they, you know, they text every couple of days?
But KG and Paul, and I think Rondo, one of the three, or maybe all three of them, kind of said that Ray was always kind of just like removed from everybody else. Like, they would all go to Ray's charity events, but Ray wouldn't show up to there.
Mm-hmm.
Ray wouldn't show up to team dinners, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I didn't say this yesterday, but it was reiterated yesterday. And speaking of yesterday, Rondo didn't say much of anything when it came. Right. He didn't say anything. He said, nah, I don't know what to say. But the funniest thing is when they started talking about the Ray Allen situation, and you guys can check this out. I posted this. I took a screenshot and posted this with the hashtag CLPod. And it's when Garnett starts talking about the Ray Allen situation, that they're going to address it. The shit-eating grin that Rondo has on his face is just is priceless. I mean, he is like he's been waiting to hear them talk about this.
Rondo had some issue clearly, with Ray. Right. What that issue was and where
those guys did not like each other.
There are a lot of unknowns here, but I guess we'll probably never find out. And maybe last night was just the end of it, or maybe it was a new beginning for some more, you know, garbage going back and forth. But I guess
Yeah, see, I hopefully they can put it aside someday, but I'm totally cool with them not doing it now. And you know what? I'm even cooler with the fact that they left it in his hands for, like, him to be like, yo, what I did was wrong, you know? And it's, they're not going to just be like, yeah, welcome him back into the fold unless he, like, addresses that, you know? So that's, hey, whatever. It's in his court.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't mind seeing some more reunions, especially if Glenn Davis is there.
You know, it would have been... Who that wasn't there, would you have liked to have been there the most?
That's a good
of all the guys Cozy, that could have I been guess. There. See that now that was my that okay. I have a 1A and a 1B. Posey because you know, like we only got him only had him that one season, you know. I feel like we kinda got it's a shame because had he sticked around for those other years, although I mean Garnett got hurt the following year, but had we had Posey going forward, I mean, he was a big piece. He did a lot of things.
I actually, I should have said this the first time. Well, now I'm kind of stuck between Eddie House and.
Oh, Eddie House was my 1B was Eddie House. Yeah. I loved Eddie House.
Reedy, of course.
And I was watching somebody tweeted something of old clips of Eddie House, like his biggest games when he was with the Celtics, like some games he hit 7 threes a couple times. You know, he was just a little lightning bolt off the bench.
Him and his jersey half tucked in, just jacking up threes. And gotta love it in the headband. Mm-hmm.
Right. But those guys all said that like Posey was like the glue of that team. So it would have been interesting to see him. And I would have loved to have heard his thoughts on the Ray Allen stuff, even though he wasn't there after the fact. Maybe it'd be like an outsider's perspective. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because he left for Indiana, you know, and he got a sweet deal. I can't blame him for doing that. But anyway, so that stuff is great. If anybody didn't see, you should check out the links. Area 21 it's on Twitter, their Facebook, whatever. You can watch them. Good stuff. But, so back to the playoffs whatever you want to call them. Yeah. So the no surprise, Golden State and Cleveland rolled. I shouldn't say no surprise. I mean, I assume Golden State was going to wash Utah. I thought that Toronto would be a better matchup for Cleveland. Obviously, Kyle Lowry's health was a little was probably a big factor in the fact that they were that bad. But they, I mean,
they probably would have gotten swept without him. Well, with him.
Yeah, I mean, and they may.
Cleveland
have
just
very
seems
well
to be on this mission to just plow through everybody.
Mm-hmm. It's really looking like we're looking at round three, Cleveland, Golden State, which I mean, nobody really wants to see, but you have to admit that series will
it'll
be pretty intense. I mean, it'll be a fun series to watch as a basketball fan, even if you're sick of seeing the same faces, you know. But for the only other good series besides the Celtics series, the Spurs and Houston, they're knotted up at 2, heading back to San Antonio.
They
play tonight.
Yes, at 8:00.
Okay, yeah. So Tony Parker's out for the season. Obviously, that's tough. Nene's out for the season for Houston. So which loss do you think is bigger?
It's really hard to say because at this point, I don't know which team is just generally more vulnerable. I want to say the Tony Parker injury is a bigger deal because San Antonio just seems to be... I mean, it's weird because before this series, LaMarcus Aldridge was just like, you know, where is he? But now over the past few games, he's showed up. But I still think that they rely on Kawhi a little too much. So I want to say that Parker being out is a bigger deal than Nene being out for Houston. Because Houston still has
all
of the shooters.
Right. And then they get hot. Exactly. They can just win a game.
Regardless of what Kawhi is doing.
Exactly. Yeah. I still, with home court, though, I don't know. I'd say it's close, but I still give the edge to the Spurs. They're still going to win the series. And obviously, the Parker being out is going to make next series really not competitive when that would have been a cool series, Spurs, Golden
State.
This
is definitely
at full strength.
A big series. And I think either team, I don't know if they have a chance against San Antonio. I'm sorry, against Golden State, seeing as that Golden State is basically replicating what the Cavs are just out in the West, just steamrolling opponents. Mm. But they're both good teams. And it's weird to say, but I guess both of them probably deserve to be in the conference finals, but obviously they can't both be in the conference finals. But I think Houston is going to pull it off.
Yeah, I think it goes seven, and I think it's pretty close to a coin flip. But either way, I think either one of them is getting washed in the conference finals. So not maybe it's maybe yeah, it's
same
not
thing
so
in the
relevant.
East. I feel like whoever wins, Boston.
Yeah, it's certainly it's looking that way. I was thinking we would push them when we were looking really strong there, winning six in a row, and then now come back to earth with these last two games. Let's get into that last Washington game while we're talking about it. That was a little disheartening because we started off the game pretty good. They, you know, I think we had what 10, 11 point lead at one point.
Yeah, I want to say a 10 point.
It was somewhere. It was low teens or 11 or 12 or you know something like that at most. But and they were playing really well.
I was up. I was out of my seat clapping. Let's do this.
Yeah, and we hadn't got a good jump on them this entire series. So I mean we weren't having to come back down 15 in the second half, Yeah, and they were doing some cool – and I did a blog post on this today. They were doing some really interesting stuff with Isaiah. They were taking what they were doing was they were coming down the floor. And when we were up – I think we were up nine at this point. Isaiah had hit back-to-back threes. So Washington was trying to make it a point to keep Isaiah away from the ball. And he was walking off the court because they were trying to keep the ball from getting to him. And they were doing a pretty good job of it. And I imagine this was Brad Stevens' idea. Isaiah was walking out of bounds.
Totally out of bounds.
Yeah, completely out of bounds. So his defender has to follow him over there because you can't leave him because then he could just step back and he's a corner three, you know, right, you know, wide open. And the Celtics were able to, with 4-on-4, with all that space, Olynyk took the ball to the basket twice. And I'd love to see him do more of that kind of stuff. Not necessarily keeping Isaiah away from the ball, but finding different ways to get other guys opportunities going to the basket. You know, we've seen Bradley he's a good guy coming off the screens and around cutting to the basket. Remember how good he was with Rondo? I'd love to see him work some more stuff with like Al, on some pick and rolls and stuff, and get him the ball going to the hoop. Like they need to make it can't just be as much as they're relying on their 3-point shooting. No, it can't just be that, you know. They have to find ways to get the ball. It's not like this Washington team is like some kind of defensive juggernaut. I mean, Gortat's a good rim protector, but even like in the second half, he's not quite the same player he is in the first.
Two,
half.
Two things. I'm kind of surprised that out of bounds stuff by Isaiah isn't illegal in the NBA. Because I know,
right, like some kind of rule like they have in the
if you voluntarily step out of bounds, you can't be the first one to touch the ball coming back in or on any given play. So if a wide receiver steps out and comes back in and the ball goes to him, it's basically like a dead play or it doesn't. Yeah, it's a penalty.
Yeah, I would be. I could see like 1 foot being like inadvertently out of bounds not being an issue, but if you were like completely stepping out of bounds with 2 feet, I am surprised.
He was almost like in the locker room. Like he was so right. far out.
Yeah, right. he was walking up the aisle there.
Two, just like you said, it's not like Washington is this defensive juggernaut like San Antonio. The problem is that when we keep getting out to these starts where we're 0 of 5, 0 of 6, 0 of 7, that's really tough because if we hit 5 of those shots and Washington misses its first whatever, then that's a much better start. Even if Washington makes its first 10 shots and we make our first 7 shots, we're still in the game. But game 4 was a little better in the sense that we weren't getting blown out in the first quarter. But we had this weird thing where we keep getting into these horrible stretches where it's not like we're getting bad looks. These are quality shot opportunities and the ball is just not going through the rim.
You know what Isaiah was saying after the game, and this made a lot of sense. He was talking about how guys would miss a couple shots, and then everyone started getting their head down and like not playing with confidence. And he's like, we just can't. It can't be like that. You know, you take a good shot, you miss it. It happens. You have to keep your head up and be ready to take that shot again. Yeah,
somebody at some point, someone said something along the lines of like, what separates a good shooter from a bad shooter is just like short term memory or something like that. Like being able to just forget that you could be 0 of 20. Just, all right, well, maybe that's an extreme example, but if you're like 0 of 5, that doesn't mean that you're gonna say, well, all right, that's it, I'm done for the night. I'm having a bad shooting night. No, just keep shooting. One of those is bound to go in. But if you're, you know, missing a few shots and all of a sudden you're like, whatever, you're gonna probably miss your next shot and the one after that.
Yeah, everyone needs a little bit of that irrational confidence that J.R. Smith has, you know?
That's, and you definitely see it with somebody like Jay Crowder. Like, you can tell when he's just kind of like, all right, I guess I don't got it tonight. And it's so frustrating because you know he's a very capable shooter. We've seen it. He's, like, totally gone off. But when he's kind of just, like, sagging his shoulders with his head down, and not to single him out either. Like Isaiah does the same thing.
So
something's definitely going to have to change, and they're going to have to change it very, very quickly. Because I hate to say it, but if Boston loses this next game tomorrow night, they're going to be in big trouble because Washington at home.
Yep, I think it's a must win. I think whoever wins Games 5 is going to win this series.
No, for sure.
And so that, I think that's, you know, and I don't know what the statistics are. I'm sure that's probably like a landslide thing anyways when it's tied up 2-2. Yeah, but I mean, honestly, I think that's the way it's going to go down, because if Boston blows that game at home, I don't think they're going to win two in a row with one of the games being in Washington. But should they win this game, it wouldn't shock me if they actually did win in Washington. You know what I mean? Like it's
I'm more confident in Boston winning in Boston than I am in them having a shot in Washington.
Right. I think it's almost a lock that this is going to.
I hope not. I hope it goes six and Boston wins in Washington for the first time this year.
That would be
great. But I guess we'll find out tomorrow. So everybody, stay tuned. It's like a really good movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so Washington is going to get Oubre back after he assaulted Billy Olynyk on the most ridiculous thing ever. I mean, that hard screen that was really not
anything.
I mean, right? I mean, it was a hard screen. I don't even know why they called it.
And what bothers me is that people are calling Kelly dirty after that screen. Like,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Of all people.
Draymond Green.
absolutely. I mean, this guy's the Karate Kid out there.
Yeah, I can imagine that everybody sees the irony in Draymond Green. He was whistled for like I don't remember what the number was, but this ridiculous amount of technicals last year.
Did he get suspended? I don't think he did, though. Not DeMarcus Cousins levels, right?
I mean, he got suspended in the finals.
That's right. Because he kicked the
Kick him. It was a natural basketball motion. Anybody that plays basketball would know that.
Sure. Yeah, I forgot that happens all the time. Right.
He also said that you don't kick people with your shin, you kick people with your foot, so that automatically...
Oh, yeah, obviously, right, yeah. Yeah. Didn't even think of that. God, jeez. Oh, God. So he came out, he called Olynyk a dirty player, which is... how many times have they even played each other? You know what I mean? Like, what would you... What is he even
they played each other
on,
four times.
Yeah, you know what it is? Oh, you know what? Now, just thinking of this now, off the top, Olynyk had a huge game the last time we played Golden State, that big win that we had
in Golden State. That ended their home win streak.
He had a monster game on him. I think he scored 20-something. I don't know. I whatever it was. He had a big game. It was one of his best games of the year. And it was probably with Draymond draped all over him. So that's probably where he's getting
jadedness
from.
He needs to stop. Because, again, it's pretty ironic that he's calling him dirty. I mean, just pull up the tape.
Yeah. It's funny to me, though, like, of that team, like, he's the one that makes them, like, unlikable. Like, I guess every, you know, a lot of teams have, every team, like, good team has that, like, irritant guy. You go back to, like, the Spurs had Bruce Bowen, the Bulls had Rodman.
Washington,
you know,
has Brandon Jennings. Everybody,
you know, you got to have the goon. Oh, yeah, the Brandon Jennings. Oh, my God. But, you know, everybody's – no, they've got – but, no, Washington does have – they've got Marquise Morris.
That is true.
That's what he does. You know what I mean? He's, you know, different ways. But, you know, that guy that's – I mean, don't get me wrong. Draymond's a great, terrific player. But, you know, he's got that mentality. I guess our guy's Marcus Smart.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's funny that they would call Olynyk the goon. I can't believe it. But whatever. But – anyway, so this got us thinking. We were talking about the Kelly on Kelly violence from Olynyk to Kelly Oubre. So our boy Justin came up with a list of some possible name on name violence that we could see, some steel cage matches or something.
Yeah, nothing's better than
all right,
steel
so cage. We're gonna run through this. That's all right. So Deron Williams versus Derek Williams. Both of them are on the Cavs. Oh, right. Who you got?
I don't know. Deron.
I think this is a size thing. I think Derek.
I think Deron would be like sneaky good and like sneaky strong.
Maybe.
And he'll sort of like just like pull out a last minute victory of sorts. I don't know. I'm gonna go with.
Well, if it's a cage match too, we could just try and run out of the cage real
probably,
quick.
He's probably
Derek
faster.
Williams is. I think Derek Williams is probably athletic enough to keep him from doing that. So I'm taking Derek Williams in this one. All right. Fair enough. Now, how about the Gasol brothers, Mark and Paul? I think this is, I mean, Mark's
definitely
going to
say
hammer versus Paul. Paul, who's come a long way from being the man that got abused by Kevin Garnett for that 08.
Yeah.
Right, though? Am I right? He got totally abused. And he's come a long way since then because I don't so much think of him.
No,
like
no,
that
no.
Anymore.
He's like really.
His game has changed. He doesn't quite have the range like he used to have anymore. So he has to do a lot more banging around inside. So I think he's been toughened up. Maybe he learned something from Garnett, but he'd still get stuffed in a locker.
No,
by
but
his brother.
Powell has definitely changed his image for sure since those.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not the flake that we all
still
got to
go with Mark
though. Was, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That definitely. So Danny Green versus the aforementioned
probably the
Draymond
best matchup.
Green.
You know what? Just cause I gotta go with Danny.
Yeah, just cause I just, right. Right. Can't be shit about our boy. So Danny Green. Jordan Clarkson from the Lakers versus our boy Jordan Crawford, who's on the Pelicans.
Yeah, he still plays in the NBA.
We're just talking about on the pod. I thought he was playing in China or Europe or something. I know he was for at least a little while. But so he's on the Pelicans. Good for them. I don't know. I guess I'm picking our boy.
Yeah, I was gonna say on principle and no alone I gotta go with Jordan.
Right. Next up, and this is a landslide. Jordan McRae from Cleveland. Well maybe we'll get to see this next round.
Oh, that would be nice.
Versus our man Topher's boy. Jordan Mickey, this is not no contest. Jordan Mickey, I mean, it would be no contest. I think he might just throw him, jump. He might just leap over the cage, the side of the cage. He wouldn't even have to.
Yeah,
he wouldn't even have to climb because he's so
Mickey is
skilled.
Just so long. No contest at all. This is easy.
Easy. Mm-hmm. So how about Seth versus Steph?
Seth,
the Curry
for sure.
Brothers.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, he's going to be scrappy. You know he wants to. I mean, if this is the one way he can get one up on his brother, it would be
in
the steel cage match.
And I say that only because he wears a headband. Yeah, that's why.
Okay. Well, that's
You got to watch out for the guys with the headbands. You know, they're the sneaky, sneaky good guys that, you know.
And then throw in a wrinkle. Del Curry as the special guest referee, right? The father has to try, you know, he's probably trying to break up the fight the whole time. It's, that would be,
I like that.
Mm-hmm. And another guy I didn't know was still playing, Mike Miller, still play. Is he still playing in Denver, or did he just write
he's
that
still
in
playing
there?
And he's playing in Denver.
Wow. That is news to me. And I'll admit, I haven't seen a ton of Denver games this year, but still, I did not know that Mike, I mean, did he play or did he just sit there like James Jones does on the Cleveland bench?
Many people watch Denver games.
His knees must be like paper mache. Like, I can't imagine. I don't know.
Sometimes you see these guys' names and you're just like, wait, really? Like, you're still in the league?
Yeah, I was joking with
Mark before this started that James Jones is still in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, go figure. I don't know.
LeBron's binky over there on the bench. He's like, he has to follow him around. He's like his fluffer or something.
Yeah, he's
and
cool.
I like James Jones. I mean, but it's kind of weird that he doesn't play. Like, I don't think he's. I don't know. Yeah, I haven't seen him play once. I don't think he played last year. The Cavs would have to be up
by like 40 to justify putting him in at this point.
Right. All right. So, and one final one, and this is the best one because it's the same names off by one letter. We got our Isaiah Thomas versus the Pistons bad boy.
Oh man, this is tough.
Okay. And as much as I love Isaiah, he's a gritty guy, you know, and I'm not, this has nothing to do with size, but Isaiah played on those bad boy Pistons. I mean, there's an image there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough to pick our guy who's also smaller against a guy that played in the 80s.
Boston Isaiah is bigger, like in terms of like muscle mass.
Oh, but yeah.
So you got to give him that.
I'll give him that. That's true. He'd be like a little Rey Mysterio out there running around. Probably. All right. That's it. I'm taking the upset. We can't pick the other Isaiah. So we're going with Isaiah over Isaiah.
All right.
I think we should. All right. But besides that, that was fun. Anyways, that was cool. Nice list, Justin. Thanks, buddy. So playoff series here. Couple of guys, they just got swept. Lowry, Gordon Hayward. They can both opt out of their contracts. Obviously, Lowry, there's already like 7 point guards on the Celtics, so not necessarily a fit. But we've been talking about Gordon Hayward all year. You think getting swept, you know, adds anything to him getting out of town over there?
Yeah, definitely. Especially losing to the team that they lost to. I mean, with Boston, you can make the case that Golden State doesn't play in the East. So it's like, you come here, you're the missing link to get over Cleveland. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be awesome if they could sign him. I think they'd still have to make a counter.
No, absolutely. Like Gordon Hayward is the answer to all of our problems.
No. But that's not what I mean, though. I mean, like, to clear rosters. Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't think you can have Crowder, Smart, Avery. You know what I mean? All those guys. Somebody would have to go. I don't know. I mean, Crowder could be a sixth man with that, and you know, and you could play a lot of small ball, and he could still get a lot of minutes. Do you think he would sign up for that?
Seeing how he,
well, he's already signed up. I mean, I don't think he has a choice, but I don't think he would be happy about that, especially after the way that he responded. You know, after the Hayward got,
we would have to get ready for a year's worth of Twitter subliminal messages.
Yeah, right.
In all caps.
I like Hayward because I think that he's a guy that can create offense on his own, right? If you have two guys like that, and if we did that, if we did sign him, then we could just roll out like whatever pick we get. If we get the first pick and it's Fultz or whatever it is, we can add that person to the mix too. You know, you still have Jaylen. I don't know. It's definitely I guess you could make a package with a couple of players and maybe add somebody else.
He's definitely a great fit in Boston for sure. We've been over this in other pods.
Yeah, I just think that watching this series especially and seeing times when they struggle scoring, and Isaiah having to do so much And they have to rely on him so much. If there was a second guy that could find his own shot, I mean, there would just be, you can see the difference in the playoffs. So how important that would
have
be.
Have that luxury to have two knockdown shooters on the same team. Man, that's scary. Mm-hmm. It's like the luxury that Golden State has, but times four. Yeah.
Right. And then, so the other guy, Lowry, he can opt out. He's going to have a lot of other good options besides staying in, he's definitely going to opt out. He only makes $12 million a year right now. So,
and I don't think Toronto's going to have to maneuver too much with their salary cap to.
Yeah, and right, exactly. So, I mean, makes one of our chief competitors in the East a little weaker for sure. I was thinking, and this, as much as I wouldn't want to see this happen, make a lot of sense for Lowry. If the Lakers can put a package together to get Paul George, and that's the guy that they want, whatever, they could get Lowry too if they don't end up with Lonzo Ball. That would be pretty enticing package over there. I imagine they'd have the money to spend.
I don't
to
like
do that.
Lowry for the fact that he kind of just disappears for long stretches of time. He doesn't seem like, at least come playoff time, doesn't seem very reliable. We don't need another semi-unreliable shooter.
Well, he was big last year for them. He had a lot of big
shots.
And
you can argue that he probably had some injury going into the playoffs.
He's an injury. Yeah, right. He's an injury concern for sure.
I would have to pass, though.
Now here's another thing we got to talk about. Our boy Brad Stevens got jobbed for the Michael H. Goldberg NBCA Coach of the Year Award. Now, I don't know if you guys listening are – I don't know who the hell Michael H. Goldberg is and what the NBCA – I imagine that's the coaches, National Basketball Coaches Association. I don't know. But Mike D'Antonio and Eric Spoelstra got it. Now, D'Antonio, he got that team to, the 3 seed over there, right? They ended up the 3 seed, right? And Spoelstra carried those Heat all the way to the 9 seed in the East. So, I mean, that I didn't realize how valuable that – I can't believe that Stevens was the – we were the 1 seed. There's no way we were supposed to be the 1 seed.
No, absolutely not.
This
with this problem.
And he got shafted. Don't get me wrong. Those other guys did great. Spoelstra, what he did with that team and turned them around – they still got off to that atrocious start. You know what I mean? Like, I guess they got Deion Waiters and whatever, but I don't know. I think it's laughable that he got the 1 seed and didn't. I don't know the voting. I didn't see it. Didn't even know it was called the Michael H. Goldberg Award. So
yeah, with all the talk about how weak Boston is and how Isaiah Thomas is like their only good player and Al Horford is just like commanding this crazy salary and he's not proving his worth, for Brad Stevens to take this apparently very broken team and lead them to a one seed and not win the prestigious Michael H. Goldberg NBCA Coach of the Year Award. It seems a little lame.
D'Antonio,
I understand for sure.
The D'Antonio, I totally. The 3 seed, no one saw that coming after their bad year last year. But Eric Spoelstra, they led him to the 9 seed. I don't care. Since when is that like an achievement?
But shout out to Michael H. Goldberg.
Yeah, you've done something if your name is the Coach of the Year Award. So, and we probably sound like idiots. I have no idea who that is, but
we should have done before.
We'll check it out. Yeah, we'll yeah, we probably should have. Yes,
it's all right.
All right. So a couple other minor little things. So we were talking about Jennings before. We had the little beef between him and Rozier. So they also got ejected in that game on Friday.
Sunday. Friday. Yeah, that was the game
Sunday. Friday or Thursday, whatever game two. They both got ejected in that game. Rozier has been playing out of his
mind.
He's
playing great.
He was the only guy that really played well in game four. He was 16-7. I don't know what he was a plus. He was the only Celtic that
his
was a
rebounding
plus,
is crazy.
I love the guy because he just does. He can do literally everything. You know, he can score. He can rebound. He's a playmaker. He's a plus defender. And it's like, you know, and obviously he's a little uneven. You know, the layups, the missed layups is obviously an issue. Maybe it's a focus thing. But at the same time, I can see him developing into something, you know, really special. He just needs to fine tune
his shooting touch and just like finishing at the rim. But he has the speed. Mm-hmm. He has the like defensive foundation. Like he gets what he's doing on defense. Obviously, he can be better, but he gets it. But yeah, the biggest thing is like finishing at the rim. It's like so infuriating. Like most of the time, he has a layup, he misses it. It might be sort of rolling it off his hand a little too hard. I don't know. I'm not a shooting coach, but I think these are all things that he can fix.
Exactly. I think it's focus or whatever it is. I think it's something that he can address. But he's very dynamic, and I like the fact that he can take it to the rack. And you know, a lot of guys are hesitant. As for the other game, there was that awful 26-point run that we're not going to talk about ever again. That was just a complete mess. Turnovers seemed like they were forcing things. You know, I saw Isaiah dribble off his leg a couple times trying to drive up the middle. You know, just bad basketball. And then they got off and running, and that's the one thing you definitely don't want Washington to do, because they will run you off the floor coming up the court. They got a lot of quick guys, and Wall's
turnovers. After watching the Golden State game last night, I would say that Washington kind of resembles Golden State off of turnovers, just driving up the court, just with the speed. It's they're very, very similar. I'm not saying that they're exactly the same, but with the speed that they drive up the court after a turnover, their transition offense is pretty serious. So you can't turn the ball over against them.
They had 25 fast break points and 56 points in the paint. Those were like layups. Like, you know, like they were, I mean, how many in a row in that 26-0 run? I think 16 of those points were like just clean layups, you know? And then they crush us on the boards again, I'm pretty sure. What was it? 45 to 31. Is that right? That's awful. You know, that they got to clean it up going back to Boston. You know, this should be, I anticipate, a much better game. I think the Celtics, you know, at least when you get crushed like that, it gives you a little more incentive that, wow, we really got railroaded. We really need to change some things. Although I was a little upset today that I heard that Steven said that Amir is going to start again, which I just don't understand why, you know? I mean, he wasn't awful in that game, but he just looks so slow out there.
It's not a knock against him. He's been great for us.
No, he was a good player all year. But, you know, you can see the knee, and you see the knees, and whatever it is, he doesn't have the burst anymore.
And it's clear.
So
if we can see it, Brad should be able to see it, but...
Yeah, I just don't understand what's the point. It's not like they, you know, Morris isn't that big of a guy where we need Amir out there. I'd rather start Jarebko. If you don't want to mess up the lineup, put Jarebko in there or go small.
I'd rather Jalen in. Honestly, just give it a shot. If it doesn't work, it hasn't worked with Amir, been pulled out for a few minutes anyway. So what's the worst that can happen?
I don't mind putting Crowder up against Morris, and then it would be Jaylen Brown on Otto Porter side of the game. I think that's what you should do.
Anybody but Amir right now. And again, this is not a knock against Amir. Yeah. This is just not – this isn't the series for him right now.
No, but whatever. I mean, he'll probably have a short hook.
So why not just start?
Why not just eliminate the hook altogether?
Hey, let's see tomorrow, though.
Right. For sure. Anything else you want to shout out, Lewis?
I hope, again, I hope we pull this off tomorrow, because I feel much more confident about winning in Boston than I do about winning in Washington. If we lose tomorrow, it's tough. But I think Isaiah Thomas did say that this would be the most important game of his career, or he would play as such. So let's see if he can back it up. And hopefully they don't get frustrated and start turning the ball over, sagging their shoulders, head down, et cetera, et cetera. They need to play with energy, and the garden better be rocking.
I hope it will be.
So, because they definitely need the support right now after two really bad losses.
Yeah. It's a must-win game for sure. So, you guys, don't forget, later this week, stay tuned. We're going to have our Paul Pierce mailbag pod. We got a lot of real cool stuff from you guys, different memories, a lot of stuff that I forgot about. You know, we had so many years of Pierce. I remember all the big moments, but some of the cool ones that people pointed out were really interesting stuff. Don't forget to check out the links at the top of Celtics Life. We got a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in the store, and you can even get tickets to Game 5. You can find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, most podcatcher apps. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something or have a suggestion, make sure to let us know. Leave a comment on any Celtics Life article or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPod. We're always trying to bring you the Celtics coverage you want, the way you like it. And from myself and Luis, we'll see you guys later this week.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.